Oh, well, if you saw my title today in the bulletin, I've been thinking about what we do for a summer series, and I thought it'd be great to dive into those texts in Luke where Jesus is traveling. I like the idea of traveling in the summer, right? It seems like a good thing to be doing. So each time that in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is traveling, I thought, let's talk about those texts. Let's talk about those stories. Well, today is probably one of my hardest ones because, you see, when I was a kid, I could not keep quiet. I know it's probably hard for you to believe that. I mean, it does make sense. I know this is why God was wanting me to go into pastoral ministry and preach, because it was me as a kid. I was in the back. I was making everybody else make noise. I'm so sorry to say this to the teachers in here. I was the one that had to be put in the front of the room because I'd be talking to my friends and I'd be getting other things. I'd get them laughing. I'd be that kind of clown. I had this desire to just be a little crazy and talk. My mom developed this game. Many of you have probably played it. Who can be the quietest? Usually when we started this game, who can be the quietest, I just started to talk and then I said, I lose, oh well, let's talk some more, okay? So then I was like, okay. So that wasn't really what the purpose was. It was supposed to keep us quiet, that's right. So it was a difficult thing for me. I was very excited, hyperactive, crazy, and especially in the car, I tell you, there would be no stopping me being the one that would chat up people. And even when I went into school, I think my senior year, it was we had chemistry my first hour at 8 a.m., 8 a.m. chemistry, and I was in there, and I got up at 4:30 every day. I would get up every day at 4:30 when I was a senior in high school and get ready for the day and just, you know, read and get ready for all my classes. And, you know, it probably seems weird to people, but I loved going to bed like at 7:30, right after dinner, because you got a great full belly and you can just go to bed, right? And then you'd go and you just, yeah, wake up the next morning, nice 4:30, and you'd have a quiet house and you just get to do your work. And so I did that every day. And so I was pumped up and energized on my first day back to school. And we had consolidated school districts, so we brought two schools together in my area. So we ended up, we had to drive 20 miles to get to my high school that day. So I had made the drive up there, and I was just excited to meet new people. And so I sat down in chemistry, and pretty soon this person walked in there, and she sat down, and I looked at her, and I said, "Hi, my name's Blake. What's yours?" And she said, "Brittany." And then she was like, I'm not really a morning person. I'm like, really? I love the mornings. Maybe I should be quiet for you. I don't know. My wife still has to deal with this even today. I have to learn to tone it down in the mornings a little bit because I'm just all pumped up. I'm ready to go, especially after, you know, waking up and having a shower and getting all ready. Then I'm really pumped. So I'm not the quietest of individuals. It's kind of funny because I married a woman who wasn't the quietest in her family either. I think her siblings and her parents would have shared stories with me that I thought, man, I just married the perfect woman. And our house is going to be anything but quiet. We've got two kids. Our daughter is anything but quiet, and our son is anything but quiet. And so it's just amazing how that tradition just keeps going on. We're going to have to play this game someday. Who can be the quietest? I don't think I'll win it, probably, but I don't know. Maybe Jessica could win that. She probably could if she set herself for it. But I tell you, it's just really interesting as you go through on this journey of being a Christian, being a Christ follower, and then recognizing the need to be quiet. I think it's often overlooked in our spiritual walk, the idea of silence before God, that it's something that we put aside, we don't spend time in silence. We live in a very loud world, very chaotic world, very much busy world. and to quiet our souls and just to let the Word of God seep into our souls is not something we're used to. When we talk about meditation, especially in light of the Christian walk, it's different than meditation in other religions. In other religions, you're trying to empty your mind. In the Christian life, you're trying to fill it with Christ. Okay? There's a difference about filling it with Christ and filling it with the Word of God that changes the picture of it all. But the idea of being quiet before God, to be still and to know that He is God, is truly important and something we should never lack or never overlook in the Christian life. I think if we look at Luke chapter 8, if you've got your Bibles, we'll jump to Luke chapter 8 today. I want to land there in the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8 so you can join with me and we'll spend time right there. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Who can be the quietest? Let's start with just the first three verses right there. We'll break it up. We'll go further down here as we go. But I just want to look at those first three verses too, because I don't want to overlook them. After this, Jesus traveled. Here we go, right? Jesus is traveling. It's vacation. Summer vacation's great for those road trips. Jesus is traveling about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. I find it so interesting right here that we start this journey talking about the women, talking about how women are serving, how women are ministering. And so there's something truly great about seeing that in light of Luke, him as the feminist writer, really, the gospel writer that just loves to include stories of women all over the place. He just likes to talk about women in all sorts of situations. He puts it in here, big, bold letters. Women are traveling with Jesus, with the apostles, spending time with them, ministering to them, ministering to other people. They're contributing to the ministry of Jesus. And I'm drawn into that language because there are so many places in our world that want to push women down. There are even churches that would say women aren't allowed to do certain things, that they're not allowed to preach the gospel. And I wonder how you can think that way when you look at things like the resurrection. Because when you look at the resurrection, it's the women who start preaching the gospel first. It's not the men. The men don't get it. The women do. Jesus gives them the mission, the ministry. Go and preach this to my disciples. He has this passion in his heart to use even those who are on the outside. Those that the world and their culture for sure would put women down. They wouldn't even bother to mention women in most places because it just didn't matter to them. They would be like, well, let's just skip over that idea. But it's interesting to me that Luke has this passion to mention women, to say we need to champion for women. One of the greatest reasons I came to the Free Methodist Church from the denomination I was in before, or non-denomination that I was in before, was because of me seeing the desire to see all welcome to share the message of Jesus and not putting a hindrance on them just based on their gender. I couldn't get it in my mind how God would use women all throughout Scripture, people like Miriam even back then, she's a prophetess. You have Deborah in Judges, who's a judge over Israel, who is also a prophetess. You have stories after stories of women sharing. And then you even go to the book of Acts, and you see how sons and daughters prophesy and share the message of Jesus. And I think, how can you overlook all of these things? How can you overlook all of these stories and the resurrection story of all things, of how women are preaching and sharing that, ministering in all their means, they're giving to the help of the ministry? I think it is just really intriguing and really important that we recognize that. Our roots as a Free Methodist denomination is founded from a guy who wrote a book, B.T. Roberts, a book called Ordaining Women. It's just what we were based on. This was something that was passionate upon the founder of our denomination, to say we can't kick out people just because they're female. We can't exclude them from other things. We can't exclude them from serving. We can't exclude them from preaching or teaching, because they have a genuine responsibility and call upon their life. And God doesn't pick male or female. There's no difference, I read in the book of Galatians, male or female. All are called according to His love. And so it breaks my heart when I think there are places who think they can suppress women or stop them from doing things that they are called to do. And so my passion has been to say, let's step up and let's try to lift up the women. Even so, on Father's Day here, we're going to have a woman preach. And so it's something about this passion to say we need to have that come into play, have this be a part of who we are. Because I can't understand how God would choose a woman to carry Jesus for 9 months in her womb, but in some places they stop her from carrying the communion trays on Sunday morning. I can't get on board with that idea. And so it's been my passion, my desire to see how can we grow and how can we learn and how can we absorb this ministry that God calls all people to. I just love these people that are mentioned, the 12, and also some women. These women, Mary Magdalene, who's cured of 7 demons. She had 7 demons within her. Those were called out of Mary Magdalene, and she served, taught, ministered to people. Because of this impact, because of this story, you have Joanna, who's the wife of Chuza, who works in Herod's household. So you can see somebody who's really close with the king. You see Susanna and many other women who were helping them. And that's just the framework of this. Because I think this sets the stage for what Jesus is going to talk about next. He's going to tell a story. That story is about people who hear the word of God, put it into their hearts, and live it out. So it draws me in to say he starts with women. Here's some true listeners. Here's some true people who have quieted themselves before God and sat at Jesus' feet. They've learned, they've been trained, and now they're ministering. That's what comes down to the point here. Are you going to be like them? Are you going to be that kind of person that learns and grows and accepts Jesus' word, opens up your heart, quiets your spirit before Him, listening, and then sharing? This is the story He tells. Luke chapter 8, starting verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering, people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe or be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root, and so they believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Persevering, produce a crop. So here he goes into this story. A farmer casting seed. This is exactly how the farmer worked back in those days. They did what's called broadcasting, and it's not on the radio, right? They broadcasted by casting it out. They just kind of threw seeds out there. Well, maybe some's going to land on good soil, some's going to land on other stuff, and whatever grows, grows. They just tossed it out there. Let's do this. Let's get it out there. So a farmer would just scatter seed. What I look at when I see this farmer is those who are ministering, those who are preaching God's word, those who share that out. And so it's just kind of like I've got a bag of seeds here of the word of God, and I'm just hoping that something catches. I'm just going to cast it out there. The deeper stuff happens when I'm one-on-one with you, or I'm visiting with a small group, or we're talking about Jesus in other ways. When I'm preaching on Sunday, I can just kind of hope that something falls out there. So I'm just scattering seed. I'm just casting that out. And so as that's happening, this faithful farmer is just sharing that with people. He just wants people to get it. Just wants that to take hold. And so then Jesus turns the story to what this all means. The hearers, those who hear the word of God. And he has a sharp heart for those who are on different paths, different places that they land. And you can kind of hear it as he's telling the story. You're just kind of like, man, I just want to be on that good soil. How do I know that I'm in good soil where it's growing and it's happening? And here's what my answer would be, is how quiet are you before God? How much do you listen? How much do you hear? Or how much time do you spend just talking, just sharing and speaking and telling God how things are? My next thought would be, how have you bared fruit? How is your life bearing fruit? How is it producing something, a crop? How is it sharing that for other people? Because Jesus starts out by saying, he or she who has ears to hear, let them hear. I want them to hear. It's why that wonderful story, again in the Gospel of Luke, of Mary and Martha. Martha's busy doing a lot of stuff, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's listening. She's absorbing the Word of God. When I talk about the Word of God, she's absorbing Jesus. John calls him the Word made flesh. And so as she's absorbing what Jesus is saying and what she's learning, Jesus says she's doing the right thing. She's sitting there and she's absorbing and she's listening and she's quieting her soul. So here's the question. How much are you going all about your business trying to do other stuff? Or how many times do you have those moments of just silence before Christ, listening to him, absorbing what he's saying to you, absorbing these words in God's word here, how we're listening to it, what is it that's producing a fruit. If we're really listening to something, something's going to grow out of that. We're going to mature. We're going to be led to grow and bear fruit. And so there's this passage, this idea of hearing God. There's those first group, those hard-hearted. They don't even really hear it. They just kind of have it on their radar, and it's easily taken. It's snatched up, and it's gone in seconds. There are those people, even those people within churches. I venture to say there are some, maybe even in here, that hear just what they want to hear on at one point, and then they go, and it's like in one ear, out the other, we're done. Check mark, I did my business, I did my job of going to church. But your heart wasn't ready. You weren't really rich soil. You didn't quiet your spirit. You haven't listened fully. And so it keeps going. It goes to those who maybe have a superficial heart. That heart of it's landing, it's going into that rock, but they have a joy when they hear it, but then they have no root, so it starts to crumble. It doesn't really grow. It's that group of people who hear God's word at one point, and I would say loved what they heard and said, man, I want to follow that, I want to live for that, but then something distracts them. Something just takes their mind off of that. They believe for a while, but as Luke says here, the time of testing, that's when they fall away. Man, it's so possible that this happens, that we come to Christ, and then once we are persecuted, anytime we could be attacked or people would say something against us, man, we just crumble. We're just like, oh, okay, it's not worth it. Oh, I don't really believe it anyway. I just say I do sometimes. That's the people we're talking about. In those times of testing, in those times of trouble. Because, you know, Jesus does say we will have trouble. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So what Jesus is promising you is if you really faithfully follow Christ, somebody is going to be upset with that. Somebody's going to ridicule that. The superficial heart would be one that just gives up. Okay, the rocky soil. What about that group on the thorns, in the thorns? Because they're an interesting crew. They're the ones who actually grow a little bit. You get some producing some of their growth in the field, and they're starting to do that, and actually it's not even taken away from them. They just aren't able to bear fruit because they've got thorns all around them. So what happens with them is that they fell among those, they hear it, and they go on their way, and soon they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Here's a lot of Christians today. I venture to say it. It breaks my heart to say there are a lot of Christians amongst the thorns. Who are growing, but they're not maturing. That their faith is a superficial or a distracted, I guess, because we should use that word for this one, a distracted heart. Other things come up. We start to see other things. We start to look around us. We start to see, oh, my life, we're worried about other things. We're distracted by otherworldly things. We're trying to seek out the world's pleasures. We're starting to fall in love with things of the world, and we lose sight of who Christ is and why he matters, and we don't really grow. We just kind of see, what's the popular Christianity today? The one that just says, I know Jesus, I know God, but they don't have any fruit bearing. There's no fruit that you can see. And it's like, how can you call yourself a follower of Christ? When you're caught amongst the thorns, you're not bearing any fruit. You're not maturing. You're just letting your word say, oh, I'm this, but my lifestyle is different. My heart is different. There's a lot of people out there who would claim to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, but won't find themselves bearing fruit, maturing. Things I'm most passionate about in the church, when I decide to hang up being a pastor, I want to just go to being discipleship guy. Somehow I can just minister to people and grow their faith, just to be passionate about seeing people mature. Christians go deeper. That for so long we've been listening to a superficial gospel. We've been listening to a gospel that's a mile wide and an inch thick. Right? And what I want to see us do is go an inch wide and a mile deep. I want to see that deepness grow. And then as the deepness grows, here's the interesting thing too, that the wideness grows. As the deeper you get in your relationship with Christ, the more your expanse will go to other people. But what we have to do is we have to learn to mature. We need to learn to be quiet, to quiet ourselves before God, to listen, to hear His call on our hearts. And to not let other things distract us, not let other things bother us, no other life's worries, but trusting in Christ and saying, I'm going to live this way, I'm going to live for Him. How does it say in verse 15? The seed that goes on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, okay, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. They're producing fruit. They're growing, they're maturing, they're learning. Who does this sound like? It sounds like those women up in the beginning of this passage. They're the ones who are this example of what it means to be a true listener. They're quieting their souls, they're quieting their hearts so that the seed will fall on good soil. And here's how we know this, by the fruit that they bear. We know this because they're bearing fruit by ministering into others, ministering to the disciples, and even ministering to Jesus to continue His work. Man, talk about bearing fruit. It's because they've quieted their soul, they've listened, they've grown, and they're maturing, and they're growing up, and they're bearing fruit, and they're able to share that fruit with other people, and their lives change other lives because the Holy Spirit is within them. I love that we use this in Galatians 5 when we talk about the Holy Spirit. When we say the fruit of the Spirit, we call it fruit. Bearing fruit. If you have the Spirit in your life, you will have these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These nine are in your heart. They're in your life. They are a part of who you are. And that's spreading to other people, and you're ministering to others. You're not letting life's worries bother you, what other people are saying bother you. You're standing up for what you believe in. The word that you've heard. That's why I think Jesus says in verse 8, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. It's no mistake, you're given two ears and one mouth. Quiet our souls, and let's hear what God is saying to us. Let's pray.